You know when you see someone who is either at a place that you want to be or someone you aspire to be, and you just think, God, they look like they have all their shit together, they're perfectly manicured, they must have the most perfect life? I had a patient do that exact same thing to me, and I'm going to pull back the curtains on this episode for you to know exactly what my life is like and how long it's taken me to get to where I am. Stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. So I had a new patient join me in my practice, and she's a new mom. I think her child is 6 months, maybe even less, breastfeeding, the whole thing. And she was just coming in just to see what I could offer her. I definitely had an initial appointment with her infant just to make sure that everything was going okay. And she was just one of those frazzled patients that, you know, came in and she's just like, I don't know what to do. I want to lose my baby weight. I want to feel like myself again. And this is her first time having a child. For anybody that has had children, the first time, it's like you don't even know what's going on with your body. I remember I've never felt what like passing out feels like out of just sheer fatigue. I've never felt the experience of like literally not having any control over what I could do in a day. And eating was just something that if I had the time, I did it. If somebody gave me food, I would eat it. Otherwise, it was just not a priority. Never in my life have I experienced that since having a first child. With Brooklyn, we had our routine down pat. We knew exactly what we were doing. But with Aria, it was like incredible. For the first 2 weeks, I remember there was periods where I would wake up from passing out, not realizing that I had done that, and frantically like searching for Aria, being like, don't roll over, where's the dog, get out of the room. Like, and my husband next to me was like, Aria's in her crib, the dog is not on the bed, everything is okay, Andrea. And I was just like in a panic, because when you pass out from just sheer exhaustion, the dreams and the thoughts that you have upon waking are just ridiculous. So anyways, that was the presentation of this patient. Not nearly in that first 2 weeks, but definitely in the first 4 to 6 months of having a newborn and getting breastfeeding going and just understanding what life is like now as you have literally an extension of you and this child is completely dependent on you and your partner for survival. Like, it is amazing how human beings actually survive, because we are just absolutely useless for years upon end. Anyways, so the point of this whole like sort of introduction is that the most common thread that she kept bringing up to me was, she's like, you look so healthy. Like, what are you doing? How long did it take you for you to, you know, lose the baby weight, and how did you get yourself back, and what did you do? And she's just like, you just look so radiant and so energized, and you just, you know, basically I looked like how she wanted to look. And it's really hard to tell somebody that it just takes time when they're living their day every day and you've gone through it. So with my first child, it took me a year to get myself balanced again. It took me a year to get out of like extreme survival mode. I didn't go to the gym for 12 months. I did a lot of walking with Aria. I ate kind of whatever I wanted. When I look back at the pictures now, I think that was the largest I had been since high school, or even public school, because in public school I was 160 pounds, which is a whole nother story, a whole nother podcast episode. And you could see it, like how round my face was. And the biggest thing that I had to do in that first year was understand what my limitations were. And I had to understand what was actually feasible and possible for me to accomplish in that year. Because I was under so much stress, just mentally absorbing what my life was like now, it took me like a good 8.5 months to really feel connected to Aria, because that first 8.5 months was just still figuring out what babies do and what their firsts are all about, and figuring us out as a marriage and as a team of how to balance sort of like work, life, child, marriage, friendship, romance, all of those things. Took me a really long time to adjust to. And that isn't something that you can really relate or pass on to somebody when they aren't there. They don't know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. They're just living their life day to day and they want all of those things. So when this patient was saying how great I looked and energized I looked, and I looked like I had my shit together because my hair was curled, I was wearing nice clothing, I didn't have a baby strapped to me. It was really hard for me to explain to her that you just have to kind of get through what you need to get through. And I thought that this would be a perfect topic to have for this podcast, because what you are seeing and what the perception is that you have of somebody for where they are, either in their business, in their life, what they're doing, is not necessarily a reflection of what's going on. So if we pull back the curtain and if you ask the right questions, you will hear perhaps a completely different idea of what you expected to hear from me, for instance. So with that particular patient, she's putting me into a box of, you know, perhaps the perfect mom who, when she gets home, she still makes dinner for her family. She spends all of her time with her kids when she's not at work. She has like the best wardrobe. She has time in the morning to curl her hair, to do her face, to do all these things, and come to work looking pretty half decent, which I can tell you guys, that didn't change until really, I would say halfway through last year, if not the beginning of this year. I put no effort into how I looked. I basically had my hair up in a ponytail for the first like 6 years of business because it just wasn't something that I was prioritizing. And then I realized that if I want to be that, you know, point B person, that person that I'm striving to be in my business, then I need to start being that person now. And again, that's a whole nother episode that we will have. But anyways, that is the perception that I'm giving this new mom. In reality, guys, we had so much tremendous help. My parents are innately involved in our family. They watch the girls at least once or twice for a sleepover in the week because they are just tethered to those girls, which gives Scott and I a lot of time to just have a break, to have a date together, to just sleep in. Like, in the grand scheme of things, we have so much help, and so like all of our families basically within 20 minutes of each other. Scott and I have had a ton of help because everyone is so close by, and I would like to say that we've obviously created two beautiful human beings because people want to actually spend time with them. Also, my husband stepped up immediately when we had Aria, and was definitely there just as much when we had Brooklyn. And not everybody gets that level of support. So in our marriage, we are 100% equals. We are 100% teammates. Everything with regards to finances and the effort we put into the house and the effort we put into our family, I would say is for the most part equal. And that was just how we wanted to establish it right from the very beginning. I did a podcast back, I think, maybe 20 episodes or so, and I'll actually put the exact podcast in the show notes, where I was talking about the four tendencies, and that's a book from Gretchen Rubin, and how I figured out that I was an obliger and that people can definitely take advantage of me because I'm always putting myself last and putting everybody else first. But that was a very eye-opening thing for my transition to not allow the marriage to become imbalanced, to not take over those, evolutionary roles where the woman was the stay at home, take care of the kids. And the husband was the financial guy working. That's just not how the roles work in our house. So because of that, I also didn't have to, you know, be the sole provider for our children. We didn't breastfeed. It was a choice because I went back to work so quickly and it didn't help me bond with either of the girls that we did bottle feeding. So Scott was able to take over some of the night shifts and we were able to switch off each other. So we each got a good night's sleep while the other was taking care of the child. And that provided us with a much better sense of sanity across the board. And not everybody's family dynamic looks like that. I also am putting the effort and the time towards giving myself the extra 5 or 10 minutes so that I can put my hair together and put my makeup on. And I'm giving myself the freedom financially to buy nicer clothes. And guys, like, I'm not buying hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of nice clothes. I'm just buying new clothes as opposed to wearing the same clothes for the past 7 years. And so all those things just kind of evolved. And that's the main reason why I wanted to have this episode with you today is because where you are seeing me now, you have to remember all of the steps that went into getting me there. You weren't there when I was first starting out. I created this podcast just over 2 years ago, so I was well established into my business. And the lifestyle that my husband and I have is maybe not the same that you have. My family, so my parents, undeniably support me in every choice that I want to make. My husband will 100% support me in every business decision that I make. I hide nothing from him, even like the crazy investments that I have definitely made. But I don't have any of that backlash or people telling me that my ideas are crazy or people like putting me down for the dreams that I have. I am so fortunate that I have surrounded myself with people that are undeniably supportive. But the other big thing, and this is something that I think a lot of us don't want to do, especially as entrepreneurs, is when people are offering us help, we take it. And that took me a really long time. And it was really like the beginning of this year it was last year. Last year, my word for 2018 was acceptance, meaning I will accept help. I will accept criticism. I will accept accolades. And that was something that I promised that if anybody was offering me help or able to take any pressure off me, I would just happily accept it instead of saying, no, I got this. Because that word, like that phrase, I got this, is helping nobody else. It is only making you feel like you're carrying more of the world on your shoulders. And that's just not fair, nor is it necessary. When people know that they are helping you out, it's actually helping them feel better about themselves. It's stroking their ego. It's giving them a sense of purpose and worth. And it's not on you to deny them that, because we could all use a little bit of help. So when you have people that are looking at you and they're thinking like, oh, you must be like the healthiest person. You must go to the gym all the time. You must eat healthy. It's also really important for you to be honest with those people, just like I'm being with you, in that what allows me to perhaps look this way was a decade worth of effort that I put in for growth, so personal growth, which I'm still doing. It was a lot of getting over blockages when it comes to money and spending, which I am still doing. But I would say this year, I feel the most free when it comes to analyzing money, looking at money, spending money on myself, as opposed to always investing it in my business. And I think a lot of that growth, a lot of that acceptance, a lot of that teamwork that I've created is allowing me to now present that persona of this girl's got her shit together. She's taking time to make herself look good. And I pride myself on that now because that is exactly the perception that I want people to have. But I don't want you guys to think that it is like this make-believe, I've got everything perfect sort of lifestyle, because it isn't. But with a lot of the work that I've done, with a lot of the growth that I have, with the knowledge of my hard limits of what I will not accept in any relationship that I have, it's allowed me to create this more realm of positive growth and affluence, and however you want to take affluence, you can, whether that be love, money, relationships, success, I would say that it's taken me up until now to really be there. And I'm still growing, I'm still evolving, but the person that I feel that I am now is the person that I've been striving to be for years. And I had to let go a lot of that emotional baggage, a lot of those negative stories that I was telling myself, a lot of those blockages that I was having to get there. So for you, whoever it is that you're trying to emulate, whoever it is that you're looking up to, it's also important that when you meet that person or when you read their bios or when you read their books or listen to their podcasts, that you listen to everything that's being read between the lines and see, are these people telling me what I want to hear, or are they telling me what's actually going on and being very, very transparent about what's going on? And that transparency, that honesty, that authenticity, that's what you should be holding on to. Not the influencers that make it look like they have this beautiful lifestyle when in reality, that car and that house is literally all of the money they have to their name. Or those people that look so prim and proper, but it took them 5 hours to get that way. I personally just don't put that amount of effort into my looks because I have a lot of other things that I could be doing with 5 hours, as I'm sure you could as well. So sometimes we have to ask those perhaps scary questions to those people. We have to really make sure that we're getting the full story before we put all of our chips into their basket and make those the people that we want to follow. Of course, there's aspects of everybody's lifestyle that we should be reaching towards, but it's also really important to get to know what's going on behind the curtain as well. So I just wanted to come on and share that story with you because it just kind of stuck out to me, and I wrote it down in my 90X planner that was kind of an idea of what I wanted to have. And I just looked down, and the final point that I wanted to make around mom life balance, which again could be a whole nother topic on itself, is the reason why I'm able to get so much done in my life is because we also have had our girls in full-time daycare since basically they were 1 year old. And even on the days that we're home, we still have them in daycare because they have such a much better experience at the daycare. And yes, it's costing us money, but I can get more done. I can be more focused so that when they are home, I can be there for them. And what we've been doing now, or what I've been doing now, is I very rarely have my laptop open when I'm at home. If I am at work, I do work, I get everything done that I can, I work efficiently, I have bought the tech that allows me to do that. And yes, it is costing more, but if I can whip out a landing page in 15 minutes instead of what might take you a couple of hours, to me, that's totally worth the annual investment. So as much as my husband and I possibly can, we're trying to get our girls at other places where they are getting that attention, where they're doing creative things, where they're going outside and playing, because we both run businesses. And that doesn't make me a bad mom, because they're coming home and they're getting to experience full-on attention from me instead of what I have been in the past, which is an absolute raging bitch because I'm thinking about my business and they're distracting me every 5 minutes. And then, you know, neither side is ever getting looked at properly. So I suck at the business, then I suck at being a parent. Sorry for that ambulance. I'm just in my home office recording this podcast. And that was just, those are the things that we just had to sacrifice. And I know there's a lot of you out there listening that are diehard, devoted, wonderful mothers, and you've been with your kids the whole time. And that is something that I have to applaud you for. I am definitely not the stereotypical mom. I went back to work after 5 weeks and 3 weeks, respectively, for both of my kids. And for me, my business is what drives me to be a better mom when I'm home, because I'm fulfilling my ambition. I'm fulfilling my dream. I'm showing them what hard work looks like. And then when I come home, I can be 100% a good mom, a good wife, and a good, I guess, dog owner too, because King also needs love. So that is kind of like a glimpse into the behind the scenes of my life. And if there's anything else that I didn't touch on, I would love for you to reach out to me on Instagram at Andrew Maximendi. Send me a direct message. And if there's some way that I can help you see that it doesn't have to be this picture perfect, stereotypical woman role, that sometimes you have to make sacrifices with your family in order to do these things with your business. But all of those things that I've done, and I don't classify them as sacrifices, I've never felt guilty about it, one iota has allowed me to now have this persona that this patient is seeing, and perhaps you're seeing as well. Because when I look back at my old photos, literally, I don't even recognize that person anymore. My confidence is better. The light that I have behind my eyes is better. And that's because I am in such a better place psychologically and physically and putting myself first. But a lot of the growth has happened to allow me to get there, and I'm still continuously being there. So if there is any extra support that I can give you, as I said, reach out to me on Instagram at AndrewMaximND. I also wanted to let you know that the Next Level program is going to be opening for enrollment very shortly. The Next Level program is what I offer people as a stepping stone outside of the Maximize Your Clinic online course, where we're doing group coaching. We do office hours every week for extra accountability. And the people that have been that have gone through and have graduated from the Next Level program by, like, at this moment, have just done phenomenal things with their business. They are showing up differently. They are more courageous. They are stepping outside their comfort zone, and they are seeing amazing results. So if that's something you're kind of putting your hands up, leaning forward towards, again, send me a direct message or email, and I would happily get on to a phone call with you and tell you more about it and make sure that you are the right fit, because I'm only accepting the right fit for the Next Level program. And anytime there's any way that I can support you, you know that I'm always here for you. This podcast is for you. Topics that you want me to do, let me know. But most importantly, know that I'm always in your corner, and I will always be that person that will tell you how it is and tell you exactly how my life is. I don't sugarcoat anything. I don't hide anything, because I have nothing to hide. So please don't hesitate. Reach out to me at AndreaMaximND on Instagram, or find me on Facebook, which is Maximize Business, and I will be there for you every step of the way. I'm Andrea Maxim, and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.